The following program is a rebroadcast of Bridge to Everywhere, originally broadcast live on KVRF-FM on February 6th, 2011 at 7 p.m. Kevin Middleton and Samantha Berg will be interviewing Joan Kirk, who will be discussing homeopathic medicine and allergies. Enjoy. The recording begins a few minutes into the start of the session.
We use that profession to move across the country and explore different areas. And yet when I was working in hospitals, there was really something missing. What I was seeing was that in acute care, in the emergency room, people's lives were saved. Things were changing, you know, immediately for people. They had the help that they needed. But what I was also seeing was so many people that were in hospitals at that time, 30 years ago, for weeks with suffering from chronic disease. And it was that's when I really saw the shortcoming of conventional medicine, that was not their area of expertise. And I really went out to explore what was out there for that would really work on creating health. What profession really creates health with people, helps people really find what health is for them? And so I actually heard about naturopathic medicine 2 years after I graduated from college in 1979, but it wasn't until 1988 that I actually decided to go back to school.
And where did you go to school?
At National College of Naturopathic Medicine up in Portland, Oregon.
And how long is it similar to getting a medical degree, is it different from getting a medical degree?
Well, the first 2 years are basic sciences, and after those 2 years, we're required to take a basic science exam. And throughout the entire training, you learn not only different aspects of, you know, pediatrics, urology, respiratory medicine, digestive, gastroenterology, all of those areas, but also learned all the modalities, hydrotherapy, nutrition, botanical medicine, naturopathic manipulation, homeopathy. And we're required to have many, 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 many hours of clinical training in the naturopathic school clinic there. So it's similar. A residency is not required, but many people are doing residencies, and certainly many, many more than when I was in school. There were six or seven positions for residents in three different schools when I graduated.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Now there's, you know, six or seven schools between Canada and the United States, and many more opportunities for residencies.
And then, so how did you end up in New Mexico?
I always knew, and I first went to New Mexico in 1979, and my brother and I were traveling around the West. He was a geologist, and I drove through Taos with him, and I thought, gosh, how do you make a living here? And so I always knew I would come back. And so 13 years later, I actually had a profession that I could move into with, and ended up in Taos, New Mexico for most of the 90s and until 2006, when I decided that it was time to go north.
It was too warm for you.
My skin was begging for less exposure to the sun, you know.
And what brought you to Alaska, and when did that happen?
I had for a good part of the, probably 2003 on, I was also teaching a self-awareness, consciousness training called the Avatar Course. And I was traveling a lot and also running a practice. And I had the opportunity through a mutual friend to be able to come up here for a summer. And just fell in love with it. And over the next year or two, wound down my life in New Mexico and came up here and got back to practicing full-time again. So,
and you're practicing
good.
In three different locations now. So you've got an office in Palmer and one in Anchorage and one in Glen Allen. Is there any difference between the kinds of things that you see between Anchorage and Palmer and Glen Allen?
Yeah, I think I think there is. It's certainly different groups and clientele. Mm-hmm. Up in Glen Allen, I work in a chiropractic office, and there's a lot of people who've been living on the land for a long time and have just been begging for alternative medicine and some way to empower themselves to take care of themselves. And that's what I really aim to do, is to help people in that way. Out here, It's really interesting because the Palmer has a very similar feel to Taos. It's a very rural. You know, Taos is fairly agricultural as well. It has a very strong history of agriculture. And it's people who really love to live on the land and live out and away. And so, and I find that Palmer people are very, very receptive to alternative medicine and naturopathic medicine. And sometimes they're too busy to come in. They're too busy out playing. And,
yeah.
But, yeah. And in Anchorage, I also work in a chiropractic's office there, and it's people that hear about me through family and friends that I see there. It's a few referrals from here.
Great.
Yeah.
And it
so it's working
like,
great. You know, mm-hmm. As you can tell, somebody who grew up in New Hampshire and ended up in Colorado, New Mexico, and Portland, it would make sense that I have three practices. That travel bug doesn't die easily.
And so how many days a week are you in Palmer?
2 to 3 right now. Tuesday and Thursday 1 week, and then Monday and Friday the following week.
Right.
And then I'm in Glen Allen on Wednesday that week in between. So
great.
Every other week. And then in Anchorage where I'm needed. So very fluid. So people that come to see me, if they're looking for a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday doc, they probably won't find me there. But if they can be flexible with my schedule, it's actually worked out great. People are just, okay, you're going to mm-hmm. be here then? Let's go.
Great.
Let's go to work.
That's great, Joni. Your office is right upstairs from the Vagabond Blues, right next mm-hmm. door to our, just down
yeah, right
the hall,
down
from,
the hall
our office.
From our office.
And it's just great to have you here. And there's something really exciting happening in the Palmer area, just in terms mm-hmm. of healthcare in general, mm-hmm. Both allopathic care and also the natural holistic health care scene is just really blossoming beautifully. There's just a great network of providers,
and everybody's
people.
Really talking with each other. I mean, we have had that experience now after being in town here for almost 7 years that there's a lot of cross-pollination going on between the different healthcare practitioners, mm-hmm. and we're all getting a chance to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. So I think that just what we're able to offer to our clients just becomes that much more rich.
Yeah. And speaking of which, you know, we'd love to hear a little bit about homeopathy. I know Samantha took the first aid homeopathy class mm-hmm. that you taught, but maybe we could just get started a little bit about mm-hmm. what is homeopathy mm-hmm. and maybe how does that work?
Yeah. So homeopathy was actually developed back in the middle 1800s by Samuel Hahnemann, and he really discovered that if someone presents with a particular condition, a set of symptoms, their expression of whatever that illness is very unique. They, you know, you take 10 people in a room that have the flu. If you really get in there and look at it, each person is going to exhibit various signs and symptoms that are a little bit different and very unique. And this medicine is really based on that uniqueness of an individual and what they're presenting with, what they're dealing with. And I think I'm going to start with an example because it's an easier way to look at it. Then, because that which given to a healthy person in a large dose will cause a certain set of symptoms, and yet you give that same substance in a diluted dose to a person with those symptoms. So someone presents with itchy eyes, runny nose, itchy palate, a little irritability. You know, these are signs of, could be cold, but oftentimes are hay fever. Well, what happens when you actually grate an onion?
Your eyes tear.
Your eyes tear.
Yeah, and your nose gets a little stuffy, and and your eyes get a little bit red, and you get kind of irritable.
Yeah, I always want to back away from
right,
it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, yes, I'm happy to grate that onion, but mm-hmm. it's irritating. Well, actually, those symptoms are actually a proving of the onion. That proving is actually then diluted, that substance, the onion, is diluted and given to people with those same symptoms, and it will begin to clear them up. So homeopathy can be used for acute illnesses. It can be used for chronic disease, mental, emotional conditions. I'm actually finding a little niche here of working with kids with everywhere, anything from learning disabilities, ADD, ADHD, on the autism spectrum disorders, and it's actually working beautifully with that as well. And, you know, we've been using it for years for this. It's very, very effective. It's non-invasive for people, and it actually really initiates the body's own healing process. So a person unwinds from whatever their chronic illness is in their own pattern.
So you're not suppressing something in the same way that you're not trying to stop a reaction. Like it's not like an antihistamine where somebody might take Benadryl because they're having an allergic reaction to a bee sting. For instance, it would be more like they actually, in one of the homeopathic remedies for bee sting is actually bees.
It can
it's
be.
Apis, right?
That's right.
Yeah, apis so it can help. So you would actually give somebody, it's sort of like giving somebody a little bit of the thing that actually irritates them, and then they're able to get better.
Yeah, it actually puts them a little bit more into the disease process that they're in, and their own healing ability kind of wakes up and begins to heal from that.
This is a really interesting distinction because something that's so subtle could actually have such a profound effect that the body needed just a little, you know, a little nudge, and then some deeper, powerful healing response can result, as opposed to something, you know, really strong and to deal with that symptom at a very strong level.
Right. It's very subtle medicine. Very. I had an interesting thing happen the other night. My niece had baked oatmeal peanut butter cookies, and she has a known wheat sensitivity. And had a reaction where, and it was her typical reaction from wheat. And she had been away from wheat for about 6 months and thought she'd just try it. And had a very hard, very, very hard to the touch stomach and was really starting to feel awful, like she was going to throw up, maybe have diarrhea. And so I offered her the opportunity to get a homeopathic. And I sat with her for a few minutes and talked about what her symptoms were and what it was like. And her husband shared some of the experiences that they'd had around episodes of that. And I decided to give her Arsenicum Album, which is a homeopathic for, can be used for food poisoning. Anytime when there's that feeling of vomiting and diarrhea. She also had really sweaty palms. And I gave it to her, and a few minutes later, she excused herself and came back, and 10 or 15 minutes later was feeling much, much better. And she shared with me that oftentimes that situation would lead to a 2 or 3 day migraine.
Wow.
And, you know, I just, things like that, I'm so grateful to do what I do.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's such a treat. Just to have that available.
Yeah, and to have it work that fast. I know after about going midway through Joni's homeopathy course, Kevin was having I think it was midsummer, and you got a little overheated in the office.
I was panting.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
But panting. I mean, it was like watching a dog pant in a hot car, and he was just like, you know, breathing really heavy. And I had just learned about belladonna, and it happens to be a really good remedy for heat stroke, for being overheated. And I was taking the class, and I thought, well, okay, I got Joni puts together a little remedy pack for first aid, and I rooted through my little pack, and I came up with the belladonna. And Kevin's like, that's not going to work. You know, I just need to go get some cold water. I need to lie down. And he was really agitated and uncomfortable. And I said, no, take the pill. And he puts it under his tongue. And before it barely even touched his mouth, he's like, I'm fine. It worked that quick. Yeah, I mean, it could amaze me even. It was, I barely got it out of the vial into his mouth, and I could just see it. Completely.
You know, I don't think I said that's not going to work, but I think that when this is an interesting thing, because when you're in the throes of some kind of symptom that's opening up, it's not uncommon to want to be left alone and sort of, look, I'm going to be fine.
Right.
And
right.
So I think it was more that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you basically said, here, take it. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And you know what? It literally was within seconds. And it was just done. Whatever that was had moved through.
Right. And that can be one of the mental symptoms of remedies. You know, Arnica has that symptom. You take a fall and you go, you pick yourself up and you go, no, I'm fine, really.
Right.
No, don't touch me. I'm fine. And that actually is an indication for homeopathic arnica and also belladonna. They feel like they're fine. And they don't want to be touched.
We just used the arnica last night, too, because Kevin slipped last night. And he was taking the garbage out, and he slid off the porch. And I walked outside, and I said, Kevin, and I saw him lying on the ground. And I said, are you okay? He goes, no, I'm fine, really. And his face was in the snow. So I went and I got my homeopathic arnica, my homeopathic aconite, and gave that to him. And then we did some acupuncture, and he was fine. But it was interesting knowing that that's mm-hmm. that's a symptom yeah. for the person to say I'm fine mm-hmm. and to be able to listen with those ears mm-hmm. to hear that as mm-hmm. oh, he's asking for arnica mm-hmm. like when, yes. And once you take Joni's class, I encourage anybody who's interested in homeopathy to get the chance to study with Joni, because that you start to listen to when people are speaking and you start to hear, oh, that person's actually asking for a yeah. particular remedy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the most interesting and astonishing, surprising experience you've had working with homeopathic medicines?
Fourth of July, this is easy. Fourth of July weekend on the Rio Grande in northern New Mexico, and we decided we would paddle in canoes from the state line down 25 miles toward Taos. And it was the hottest summer that we'd had on record. We were in the middle of a 6 or 7, 8 year drought, and Colorado takes a lot of the water from the Rio Grande for irrigation. And we went down on the river, probably Friday afternoon or something, and the water level was fine. And the water level literally, it was like somebody was sucking the water out of the river in a straw.
Wow.
And so it was exposing all these rocks, and it was getting a little tricky. And there were four of us, and one woman who was very, very, the most qualified canoer, and is notorious for standing in her canoe, paddling, watching the river ahead of her. And she's just as stable as can be. Well, it was also 115 in the gorge. It's in the Rio Grande, in that area, it's a pretty deep gorge. And it was hot. I mean, it was hotter than that. It was just hot and dry. And, you know, we had plenty of water with us. We had plenty of resources with us. And they reached a point where we took a break, and this one woman who's our fearless leader lies down on a rock in the sun and said, you know, I'm just going to take a nap here, and I'll be, just go on without me. I'm fine. Just go on without me. And I looked at her, and one other woman was with us who's familiar with homeopathy, and she looked at me, and she said, well, what are you going to give her? And I thought, oh, what am I going to give her? And this woman was really in the midst of sunstroke. Even though we'd had sunscreens and hat and were well covered, did all the right things, that statement of, no, just go on without me, and looking at her really being delirious, we just got the belladonna, and I gave her a dose of it and picked her up, put her in the shade, and we were all just hovered around her, and she kind of came to in about 5 minutes. She's like, what are you doing? How come you're just like standing there staring at me?
Yeah.
Now, this is in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. We were easily 40 miles from anything.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been a pretty serious situation where she could have, you know, died from mm-hmm. sunstroke.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Yep. And that's one of the things that I really would love to share with people here in Alaska, because we have such opportunity to be in so many different places, hiking, skiing, four-wheeling, snow machining, you know, doing whatever we want to do. But homeopathy is something that you can take with you so easily in a pack. I mean, how big are those? Little sandwich bag mm-hmm. full of homeopathic remedies. And you can have remedies for so many things, of dehydration, frostbite, sunstroke, sprains, strains, bee stings, cuts, scrapes, falls, shock. You know, more than once I've treated somebody for shock while I have them on the way to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to take the load off of them while they're in the midst of whatever the process is.
You know, speaking about shock, I mean, we have a lot of windows at our home, and so we've had quite a few birds in the summertime mm-hmm. this past summer hitting our window. And Sam just took a little aconite and
put it in some water and put it in a little syringe without a needle on it and held the bird in my hand. And obviously this bird didn't have a broken neck. It was just in shock from hitting the window, and just put a little bit of water on its beak with the aconite in it, infused in there. And it just kind of sucked it up. Like, you could see little bubbles happening, and then it just flew off. You know, and we had that happen with several birds. And even though, you know, obviously it's not going to fix a bird that's got a broken neck, but they can still die from shock in a couple of days if they don't eat. So it was pretty amazing to just watch them kind of shake it off and then fly away.
And it works great on animals. And I was amazed at using it on cats and dogs and horses. Here you give this big horse, you know, two or three drops of a remedy and you'll see a shift.
And aconite is a pretty interesting remedy, because I think aconite is monkshood, right?
It's a local plant.
Yeah, and it's poisonous if you actually eat the plant. It can stop your heart.
Exactly.
And so it's in Chinese medicine, it's known as futsa. It's well respected in very small amounts, and it's considered toxic if you use high amounts. But homeopathic aconite can actually reverse shock and save somebody's life.
Now, you see in the grocery store a lot of homeopathic remedies, and how much of this is appropriate for self-diagnosis, self-application, without a professional trained naturopathic doctor making recommendations and diagnosis? How is it safe for somebody to take this on themselves?
To a certain extent, I think for things like we've talked about, it can be very helpful. You know, you've got some things that are a little bit out of reach. You know, you look at something like a skin condition, eczema, psoriasis. Those are very deep-seated problems. Those are not going to heal with one remedy. In fact, if it's overtreated, by the time someone gets to a homeopath, it may be more difficult to treat. You know, you can buy over-the-counter books that are first aid homeopathy. You can get those, have a look at what it's about, use it. You just don't get the side effects with homeopathy that you do with other problems.
What would be typical if a person chose the wrong remedy?
Nothing would happen. I mean, it's a small dose. They wouldn't have necessarily approving of it. We wouldn't show those symptoms of that poison because it is in such small dilutions. You're using 30 dilutions of 1 to 100. You know, and if you reach back into your high school chemistry and remember Avogadro's number, which was 10 to the minus 24th.
It's a lot of zeros.
That's a lot of zeros. And at that point, when something is 10 to the minus 24th, there is no physical particle in it anymore. So at 24 dilutions, there's actually no more substance in that.
So you just have substance that at one point was in contact with that substance.
And it's really vibrational medicine. It's really energetic medicine. Yeah.
And also, you have access to more powerful remedies than you could get, you know, in Natural Pantry or at All About Herbs or Ideal Nutrition. You've got a much more. And so those would be by prescription only from a natural.
Right. There's a lot of them that you at certain potencies that you cannot get unless you're a licensed doctor. We're looking at those aconite, belladonna. Those are substances that in large amounts
are toxic.
And yet in diluted dose, they are the medicine. Yep.
And so what would be a consult? What would let's say I came in and I had a particular issue going on, and how would that work if I wanted to come in for a homeopathic consult?
For it was acute or a chronic illness?
Let's see, it was chronic, something I've been dealing with for a while. How would that whole process go if I was interested in homeopathy?
I would talk to you about homeopathy and give you an idea of what it's about. And usually a homeopathic interview can take 1.5 to 2.5 hours. And we're really looking at who you are, who the patient is, not just the symptoms that the person is presenting with, but how does a person move through the world? What are the things that limit them? What are the things that they excel at? Who is this person? You know, what are the things that stop you?
So you're trying to get more of a whole picture of the person,
right.
You know, not only just the what's their symptoms per se, you know, this it hurts when I do this, or I'm allergic to these foods, or, you know, what the Western medicine diagnosis is, but you're kind of getting a sense of who is this person, what are they like in the morning, what are they like in the evening, what is the quality of their relationships like, you know, do they do better in warm weather, do they do better in cold weather, all those kinds of
all that kind of stuff. What are their food cravings, what are they not like? What are their fears? What are their phobias? What have they gone through in their life? What's their long? What's their history? What's where have they been in their life? So really getting a sense of who these people are. Are they friendly and outgoing? Are they shy? Are they fearful? Are they somebody who totally wants to live alone? So it really is a. And then I would take that information in and analyze it and pull the remedy that is the best fit for them. So, and they may not see me for 6 or 8 weeks after that, because the remedy is going to last for a long time. That the effect of it will, is ongoing.
So the difference when you're prescribing for somebody acutely, let's say at backcountry, you know, you're going to pick the best matching remedy to the symptom, but when you're actually treating, when you're treating a more chronic long-term illness, you're not just looking at the symptom, you're looking at the whole picture.
Right.
And in fact, you did that with the first, with the wheat allergy with your niece, you did a little bit of both. So that's the benefit. The more you know, the more you're able to do that.
Exactly.
And you can match the remedy a little bit better, which is why some people who may have had issue, I tried Nux Vomica, you know, on my stomach ache and it didn't work. Well, maybe they didn't quite match the remedy with the type of stomach ache they have or the type of person who they are. So,
So we were listening to The Bridge to Everywhere, and we're speaking with Dr. Joni Kirk, naturopathic doctor in Palmer, Alaska. And we're going to take a brief break here. And when we come back, we'll be talking about natural allergy elimination.
You're listening to Radio Free Palmer, KVRF 89.5. If you'd like to get involved with community radio, contact us at radiofreepalmer.org. This is your chance to invent community radio in Sutton, Butte, Chickaloon, Palmer, and the surrounding areas. Big Cabbage Radio!
To Everywhere. I'm Samantha Berg, and I'm with Kevin Middleton and Dr. Joni Kirk. We're talking about naturopathic medicine, homeopathy, and we're about to have a conversation about allergy elimination techniques. But before we get there, I just had one more question I wanted to ask Dr. Kirk about the difference between herbalism and homeopathy. I know there's a great deal of confusion. A lot of people think that herbalism is homeopathy or homeopathy is herbalism, and they're quite a bit different. So I'd love for you to say a little bit about that.
You know, homeopathic remedies come from, they can be from plants, they can be from minerals, they actually can be from, like you said, the apis, the venom of an animal. And so that's using plants in a minute homeopathic dose. Botanical medicine, herbal medicine is really using the whole plant or some aspect of the plant or standardized extract of the plant to facilitate healing quality, healing modality on someone. So, yeah, a lot of plants are used both ways.
But you're going to get a different result if you use, you know, an extract, like an alcohol extract of a particular plant versus a homeopathic version
sure.
of that plant.
You're not going to get the homeopathic effect of it. You're going to get the herbal plant, the actual
more like biochemistry.
The effect of the biochemistry of it, the actual constituents of the biochemistry.
Great. That's really helpful. Thank you.
You know, and before we leave homeopathy, I have one question that everybody wants to know.
I know we can go for a long.
Right. What's your best remedy for cold and flu?
Cold and flu. You know, I actually really like oscillococcinum. And it, if you want me to spell it, I will. But it's the over-the-counter remedy for flu, colds and flus. And it's O-S-C-I-L-L, oscillococcinum. Oscillococcinum. And you'll find it at, you can find it at Fred's. You can find it at Ideal. You can find it at All About Herbs, Natural Pantry.
Mm-hmm. And it's on display right now at Natural Pantry.
Is it?
I just
All
saw
right.
it on Saturday
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of other remedies that you can use, you know, but one of my favorites is actually aconite at the first sign. You know that moment when you go, uh-oh, I could be coming down with something. Mm-hmm. That's the moment to take a little bit of aconite. It can really shift things. Gelsemium is another one. The indications for that are, which I really appreciate, are kind of dull, droopy, and drowsy. So if you're feeling that way, that the remedy of gelsemium can be very helpful.
And that's a good jet lag remedy,
right? It is
a
jet lag.
Yeah.
And it's actually one I probably should have taken at the beginning of the show because I was a little nervous. And it's one that's used for stage fright.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
Yeah.
So, and can you recommend some websites for beginners? We'll get some information after the show. We'll get some book recommendations for beginners and some websites. But just for the people listening right now, if they happen to be on a computer, where what would be one of the first places you'd go to?
ABC Homeopathy.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And hpathy.com. Those are mine. Those are the two that I use probably most often for just first, if I'm just looking for something quick.
Great. And a particular favorite book, somebody who you really...
Miranda Castro.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has an intro handbook to homeopathy. She also has one on pregnancy and the first year, the child's life.
And she's got one on mental emotional.
She has one on mental emotion and stress.
Mm-hmm.
I like her writing. She's very readable. She's a wonderful homeopath that is from England and treats in Gainesville, Florida.
Can you spell her name?
Miranda Castro, C-A-S-T-R-O.
Okay.
And I'll put all of those, the book recommendations up on the website, on the Facebook page.
Okay.
So, we ready to move on from homeopathy to allergy elimination?
Sounds great.
Okay, no more questions? Going once?
Yeah, we're going to have a call-in part of this show eventually. We're going to move into that, and I'm really looking forward to that edition.
In the meantime, you know, if anybody, we're going to be posting the next guest who's coming up. So, if you have questions, we'll try to get the guest up there a couple of weeks before the next person's on. So, if you have questions, feel free to send in your questions via the Facebook page at Bridge to Everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm happy to answer any questions that people have on that Facebook page or on my own Facebook page.
Great.
Joni Kirk.
So we'll send anything that comes through our Facebook page, we'll send to Joni Kirk so she can answer questions.
Good.
That sounds great. And as far as allergies go, I mean, this is a huge issue, especially in this area. You know, we see a lot of cases in our own practice, whether it's breathing allergies, but increasingly food sensitivities and food allergies. So let's go ahead, maybe start with what do you commonly see in your practice?
Wheat sensitivity, birch pollen sensitivities. And I see it, you know, it used to be that when I first got into doing allergy testing and treatment in 2000, I was still seeing runny eyes, runny nose, itchy palate, itchy ears, a little bit of gastro stuff, little stomach upsets. And I almost don't see that anymore. I really see the mental, emotional symptoms, the mental symptoms of people feeling really spacey, disoriented.
Insomnia.
Insomnia, restlessness,
Depression is another one.
Yeah,
that,
depression when you probably, yeah.
And inability to focus, right?
Just well, that's
sort of the ADD kind of
that,
stuff. Mm-hmm, yeah, that yeah. A lot of people get diagnosed with ADHD or ADD, mm-hmm. and, you know, even kids are put on medicine, and if you just get them off of wheat, it can be miraculous.
Sometimes it can be. It can make a huge difference. Yep. I also see a lot of gastro problems, stomach bloating, colitis, irritability.
Specifically with wheat?
And actually even chemical allergies and chemical sensitivities also. It just seems like almost anything these days seems to have some environmental aspect to it, some environmental sensitivity.
So most of these cases are really complicated. It seems like it's hard to pull it apart, and it's not just any one thing. Often it might have started out as a sensitivity to one thing, and then there's things that are compounded. So how do you go about pulling that apart?
Well, I use a electrodermal screening machine, which actually looks at using meridian points, acupuncture meridian points, actually looks at what effect a substance has on someone's energy flow, the flow of energy. And with this machine, it actually has over 8,500 substances programmed into it that I can test. And so it's a huge, huge program. It's very adaptable. And what I need to do, what I do is I basically start with taking a good case history and physical exam with people and then look at what their stressors have been, you know, find out when do they get the symptoms that they have, what changes it, what makes it better, what makes it worse. You get in there and really look and see what there is. But once I get somebody on the machine, I can begin to look at what organ systems are really affected. And almost always, it's the lymph system, which is upper respiratory tract, lung, large intestine, allergy, and triple warmer, which really almost always in my situation I see adrenal mm-hmm. fatigue, mm-hmm. That the adrenals just are taxed.
Yeah, and so a lot of people come into our office with a diagnosis of having elevated TSH, thyroid stimulating mm-hmm. hormone, mm-hmm. you know, and so they're on thyroid medication. Mm-hmm. But from what you're saying, it sounds like a lot of people have that concurrent adrenal issue possibly going on at the same time. So you got to look at both.
Well, we also know that certain wheat antigens can inhibit the conversion of an activation of the thyroid hormone. Mm-hmm. Not in everybody, but in some people. So you'll see that. And what I see is that each person comes in a little bit different, with a little uniqueness, and I can say I have this 6-week protocol that I do of allergy elimination, but each person's going to go through it a little bit differently based on what their symptomatology is, what their lifestyle's like, what are they willing to do. And so the things that are important to me is really getting that barrier function, that aspect of our body that interfaces with the environment, the upper respiratory tract, where it's nose, ears, eyes, nose, throat, what get the lining of those mucous membranes really strong. The same with the lungs, same with the digestive tract. Get those enzyme systems and the integrity of the gut lining really stronger. And so I do that with supplements and also mm-hmm. with diet.
So again, you're really talking about looking at the terrain. It's like the soil.
You're
looking at getting the soil, you know, rich and nourished, making sure the mineral balance is right, mm-hmm. making sure, you know, the pathogens are out. It's well watered. It's like a good, healthy place. So you're supporting the immune system mm-hmm. from that direction.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just trying to get rid of something out of the body.
Yeah.
Which brings up another question. A lot of people come into our office having taken various kinds of allergy tests. So they've taken mm-hmm. some kind of a blood test mm-hmm. and they come back with a list of, you know, 17 mm-hmm. or 18 things, and they're ranked from, I think the most recent one I see a lot of is something called the Allitest. Mm-hmm. And so they're ranked from one is a minor reaction and three is a huge reaction, and they're told to avoid those things. But what is the difference between the kinds of things that a blood test would test mm-hmm. for and the kind of testing that you do?
Right.
And the level of sensitivity.
How accurate do you feel that a lot of those tests are? Mm-hmm. Because I know that some of them are going to measure a certain degree of reaction, but maybe not pick up subtler sensitivities.
Right. Some of them are really immune system mediated. They're IgE or IgG mediated. So they're actually a response in the body that's a biochemical response. And those tests are oftentimes the blood type, the blood test, and they can be accurate if your reaction is IgG and IgE mediated. If it's not, it's not going to pick it up.
So what other kinds of things?
So there's
would
other
be?
Challenge tests. You know, there's the Carroll challenge test, which is basically you're actually introducing that substance into the body and seeing what their reaction is. That is probably one of the gold standards.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these other tests that are coming up, it really is more physiological and biochemical rather than what I'm looking at is really just, is this substance impeding the flow of energy in the body or not?
So you're looking on a much more subtle level.
Yeah, and I may not be able to tell you if mm-hmm. it's IgG or IgE mm-hmm. mediated, but I can begin to support the body to mm-hmm. not just to really get through the allergy rather than just to avoid it. We can all avoid certain things,
right.
but it's very limiting. But what is the body's trying to say by reacting to this? What is it really needing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure what you're seeing in your practices, too, is the overwhelming amount of inflammation.
Yeah.
Most of the diseases that we're seeing right now are inflammatory.
Could you say more about that and what that means?
Oh, boy. In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, our body, it just feels to me like, and in this environment now, with increase in environmental toxicity, people's response seems to be more on that inflammatory level. And our bodies react to something where they'll get swollen, they'll get painful, they'll get red. And those tissues, when they start exhibiting that, lose their function. And they deplete the energy. You know, and the first thing that goes is our adrenals.
And so I know they're finding out now there's a big connection between inflammatory conditions in the body, and that can potentially set you up for precancerous and mm-hmm. cancerous conditions mm-hmm. in the body. So that first step of just being mildly inflamed, if the person keeps going down that road and doesn't address it, really could end up in something mm-hmm. more serious.
Yeah.
Because inflammation to some doesn't sound like, oh, you know, I'm just a little bit inflamed.
Yeah.
But you're starting down a road that you don't necessarily want to be on.
Right. We'll talk to somebody with colitis and what that inflammation mm-hmm. is like, you know, where their gut is just totally unable to really assimilate the nutrients that they're taking in. Yeah. Or asthma. Asthma is another inflammatory process.
Yeah, chronic fatigue.
Chronic fatigue,
There's so many autoimmune kinds of things
that we're seeing.
Yeah, and they seem to be really tied to diet and mm-hmm. inflammation. Again, it can be very challenging to pull it apart. You know, if somebody was just listening for the first time and they're saying, hey, I'm seeing I've got a lot of these symptoms going on. You know, my digestive mm-hmm. system is off. I'm not really sleeping well. You know, I'm agitated and irritated, or I'm depressed all the time, and I feel like I'm just craving sugar. You know, I need coffee for energy, and I need alcohol to relax. I mean, that's kind of
the classic,
you know, stressed out.
And I'm not
going
to be able to take
person.
A flight to Hawaii anytime soon.
Right.
Well, and I might not be able to take that flight to Hawaii because of all the people on the plane who are wearing perfume. So I'm sensitive to the perfume, you know, so all those kinds of things. So, you know, let's say that person, you know, they can't get in to see you tomorrow, or they mm-hmm. can't get in to mm-hmm. do something. What would be the first thing that you would say, you know, just on your own? What are the kinds of things that you can do to start looking at your environment for allergies, and also look at, you know, what you're putting in your body?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the first few things that you would say? Here's some simple things.
I think the first thing is getting a very, very simple anti-inflammatory diet, which is really going for whole grains, whole fruits and vegetables. You know, if you're eating meat, eating fresh meat, and going for as much organic as you can. But, I mean, one of my favorite nutritionists said to the class one time, you know, if it doesn't look like it did when it came out of the ground, you know, you may not want to eat it. And if we look at how much processed food we have in our diets, I think that would be the first thing to take out is processed foods and getting back to a whole food, plant-based diet. Also looking in your own environment. Anybody else have mold in their house? That's the first place to look. Where's the mold? Where's the animal dander? Mm-hmm. People that have allergies, you know, many of them have taken out their carpeting, gone back to hardwood floors. Air filters. I think a good HEPA air filter is very helpful for people with allergies.
Seems like one of the important things here would be to identify an inflammatory process early on before mm-hmm. you have a full-blown, mm-hmm. you know, chronic illness mm-hmm. that's, you know, really limiting one's mm-hmm. quality of life. Any sense of what the subtler things that people might notice to then start looking at, you know, is this possibly mold? Is this maybe mm-hmm. something in my diet?
Yeah.
Are there any early signs and symptoms?
Well, I think sporadic headaches, skin irritation, itchy, dry skin, fatigue. I think a lot of people start seeing, one of the first things they see is fatigue, not being able to keep up with what they used to do.
Right. And I see a lot of phlegm, you know, sinus congestion mm-hmm. and just runny nose and that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. In kids, I see one of the first things I see is eczema. You know, you see young children that come in with cradle cap or eczema. That's the place to start right there. And oftentimes then it's cleaning up mom's diet or the family's diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, since nobody else has said it, I'm going to ask, so what do you think the effect of if we have coal in the valley, mm-hmm. you know, and we start to have, you know, particulate dust in the air mm-hmm. from blasting from coal, and there's a lot of heavy metals that come into the air from coal, and just, you know, the coal being trucked down the highway and all the kinds of things that come with having, you know, more particulate matter in the air, when in the valley we already have, we have plenty of people come in our office when, you know, when the winds are kicking up by the glacier and, yeah. you know, all the silt's in the air and they're complaining of mm-hmm. allergies. Do you have any mm-hmm. sense on
I think it's an issue. I think it's something to really look at. As I was going to say, I mean, you're thinking about coal, but when there's a big when the wind is blowing mm-hmm. in Palmer, there's a lot of people that are suffering.
Yeah.
And the chemical constituents of that silt is not the chemical constituent of coal. I think one thing that's very surprising to me practicing up here is the number of people involved in the oil industry and the number of people that I've seen that have just on the edges of that profession, that maybe they don't work in the profession themselves, but I'm seeing many, many people who are reacting to benzene. Mm-hmm. And though it's not a common in this particular grade of oil, it's still there. And there's just so much reactivity. I think that anytime you bring that kind of mining into an area, it's going to affect the resources that you have. It's going to affect the environment. It's going to affect the people that live there. It'll affect the soils.
And it just seems like we have so many patients coming into our office with allergies, you know, upper respiratory mm-hmm, kinds of mm-hmm, allergies. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely concerned about about the community if we have even more stuff going into the air.
Well, I think many people probably, you know, who've moved to areas that are clean like this mm-hmm. Because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, many people moved to Taos, New Mexico because the air was clean.
Yeah.
And then all the people moved in there, and suddenly they were in an inversion because we sit in a bowl, and the wood dust and mm-hmm. the car pollution just adds and complicates it.
So going back to allergy elimination, tell us a couple of success stories. You know, people who've come in with really mm-hmm. challenging allergies that you've been able to sort out using the 6-week protocol.
Mm-hmm. My first one that was actually back in New Mexico. When I got the machine, I asked a couple of my patients to be the guinea pigs for the protocol, and one of them was somebody who had multiple chemical sensitivities, and her husband had allergies to grasses. And he, as a teenager, had a lawn mowing business in Southern California, and he was also doing lawns and some of the greens on the golf courses. And within about 4 years, he was so sick that he had to give up the profession and went to a number of the clinics that were there to see what he could sort out. And 4 years later ended up in New Mexico. So he came in, and I did allergy elimination on him, and everything was going great. We were moving along week one, week two, week three. We had treated him for chemical exposures of various things and did very well, and he came up to doing grasses, and I have the ability to test over 50 or 60 different grasses. He reacted to 35 of them.
Wow.
And I had to do that testing over about 3 or 4 weeks because it was too much for him. So let's fast forward another 6 weeks, 8 weeks. He'd finished the protocol. I had done his follow-up, and he was feeling really pretty good. And he said, you know, I could finally be outside. I could actually live a normal life outside and not have to live in my house with air filters everywhere. So he called me on a Saturday afternoon, and he was just almost in tears. He said, I am so excited. I mowed my grass for the first time. And he was so excited about it, he actually got involved with the high school and got some kids there involved with mowing lawns and helped them start a lawn mowing business mm-hmm. that he never had.
Wow.
Yeah, as a kind of a pay it forward.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he was a great guy. And then I had a kid who had terrible, terrible rash on her hands, 8-year-old, and she was brilliant. Loved to work at the board and work in chalk, but her hands were a mess. And one is she was ambidextrous. And as I treated her, though, nothing was coming up, nothing, until we got to chalk. And this is a kid who 5 days a week
was playing with chalk.
We got her away from it for about 3-4 weeks, treated the skin, did the NAET treatment on her, an acupressure treatment that helps with allergy elimination. And she's fine. She's a truck artist.
In that case, would you think that the allergy came on because of just overexposure
to the
chalk? I know some people say we're sort of attracted to the things that give us a particular... So maybe she was actually getting some kind of histamine reaction mm-hmm. to the chalk, and that was making her want to play with the chalk more.
That's right.
And it seems like there's usually some other combination of factors, maybe other stressors, that hits a tipping point where something that normally was not reactive or problematic suddenly becomes that way.
Yeah.
And, we see that in our practice, and, I've never had a problem with this, and then all of a sudden, here it is. Mm-hmm.
Or it's linked up with a stressful interaction that I've seen it a few times with cat allergies where somebody was never allergic to cats until something happened. When they saw a cat and dog fight, they were scratched, they had their cat taken away from them, something like that, that usually is paired. And somehow the mind, the body affects the mind affects the body. I mean, we have to treat the whole being. We have to get in there and find the whole story.
which brings me back to, we're going to go back to homeopathy for a little bit here, because one thing we didn't talk about was the law of cure, that sometimes you get worse before you get mm-hmm. better. So if you could just say a few brief words about that, what your experience is with seeing people as they get better, they actually appear to be getting worse temporarily.
Yeah. Sometimes you can get an aggravation when you're doing homeopathy and the allergy work. I think it's the body just going into the reaction a little more, and then there's like something that gets the healing modality gets awakened, and people start to turn it around. But first, almost always, I see some kind of an aggravation. They'll get an exacerbation, whether it's immediate, it can be short, it can be really short term, it can be a couple of days. But it does turn around, and you're on the right track when they have an aggravation and it does turn around in a short time and they start to really come into their own.
I tell people symptoms are giving you that one last little wave goodbye as they're heading out of the body.
Right.
And that if that happens, that's a good thing.
Yes.
We like to see that.
Yeah.
So maybe just to share some thoughts for families that might want to begin changing some lifestyle pieces to reduce the reaction to allergies. What would be some of the most important things to do?
The food allergies that I see most often are wheat, dairy, corn, soy, eggs. What else do you see?
Wheat, dairy. wheat, you know, there's some food additives that is MSG is a big one. Yeah, which comes
aspartame.
Aspartame is another big one.
Artificial sweeteners seem really, really problematic. Yeah.
Taking those out. I think the other thing is really getting back to whole plant-based foods.
Well, that's great. Well, we really appreciate the time that you've spent with us.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. Joni Kirk.
In Palmer, Alaska. Like us on Facebook at Bridge to Everywhere to access more information, links, and resources from our guests and show topics.